We're going to the game.
You know what? I don't want to play defense. Are you kidding me?
Right, game news.
What the hell's going on? You're playing it safe.
I'm brick.
It's amazing. No way in hell I'm touching it. Are you kidding? That was really fun.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Anomaly. This is Adrian Todzinski. I'm your host, and I'm hosting alone because honestly, it's a pain in the ass to book people based on time zone. And really, I've got enough to yell about that will keep this probably one of the great episodes ever. If you were ranking them, which nobody is, there's like three that are at the top, and then the other like 25 of them are clearly at the bottom. But this one, already, I know going in, it's going to be a classic, an instant classic. So get ready for it. Buckle in, especially if you're in a car. If you're in a car and you already have a seatbelt on, reach over and pull the other seatbelt from the passenger backseat and pull that across you, because you're going to need it for this episode. Here we go. It's first of all, nope, here we don't go. I got to talk about the season of giving, because I say that every episode. Patreon.com/sportsanomaly. Give $5 if you can. If you do, then you get to hear the episodes and the off weeks that I have not been recording, because I'm a piece of crap and I owe my subscribers more. So I'm going to be doing some cool stuff to make up for it. But I've just been exhausted, emotionally exhausted. So I just finished a feature script. It's with this composer who had written a script years and years ago, and then I co-wrote it with my friend, and we totally revamped it. Page one rewrite. And just the exhaustion of writing a comedy, you have no idea. And I'm realizing the pandemic is like writing a book, and that we're near the finish line. You want to do anything else, and it's just such a grind, and every day feels like 90 days. Before we all get vaccinated and then listen to this podcast around strangers, like walking past them on the street without being afraid. So if you can give money, great. If you can't, don't bother. Don't. Just spend it on a taco. Moving on to 11-8, brought to you by Fats Ducati. What I love this week, this hit me right before the podcast started. I was just throwing together a lineup, which I wasn't even going to do. That's how shitty I am at doing this lately. But this is the first time I've had the energy to do anything that's not just lay there and stare at the ceiling. But what I'm about to say, I do think it's important to preface this. What I'm about to say will sound totally insane to anybody who has actually done the thing I'm about to talk about in real life, because I'm going to talk about it in video game form. So I want to say I sound like a lunatic, but I still find it fascinating. Here's my thought. This is what I love. The emotional journey of a Madden season replicates the emotional journey of a real NFL season. Now, I know that's totally batshit, and how does that work? But here's what I'm going to say. My first season of the Madden 21, I'm in a 32-team league. You should be in it. We're having people drop like flies for season 4, and it's a really fantastic league. So get an Xbox One and play with us. Or if you have one of the fancy new ones, you can also play with us. And the game's on Game Pass, so you don't have an excuse. And if you're not good enough or you don't have time, just try. Try it for a week or two. You'll find it hilarious. It's fun. And if you get your butt kicked, hopefully we start putting people in divisions that like all the 0-1 and 2 win teams in the same division, because I think that's really the way to go. Anyway, so the first season I went 7-9. I think maybe I went 6-10. Doesn't matter. Who's checking? But I was I had the Washington Warrens. I'd renamed them. They got rid of Dan Snyder, and I played a season with a bad team, but I was like constructing it and all that. Season 2, I start out 6-2, and I am flying, and I'm just like, I got this. I'm going to win the division. I'm going to be amazing. Ended up finishing 8-8, tied for first place, but lost on a tiebreaker to the Cowboys, because literally like the 4 or 5 of the last games of the season, I just didn't have it. I just couldn't, I fell off the rails. I didn't care. the one game that I ended up losing in overtime that would have got me into the playoffs if I would have at least tied. I gave up a 80-yard flick, Hail Mary with a flea flick, like a pitch. It's on the Sports Anomaly Twitter, and it's the greatest thing I've ever seen happen at Madden, but it cost me the playoffs. So I just couldn't emotionally get up for the games, especially that when I was just like playing and like touching the buttons like a zombie. And I kept trying and trying, but I was like, ugh. And then it depressed me that I couldn't emotionally get up for the game. And then I realized emotionally I was just so drained and out of it. It was just horrible. So for this third season of our four quote-unquote season cycle, don't know why I quote-unquoted it, because you know what I'm talking about. So in our third season, I flew out of the gate. I was, I believe, 4-1-1. I gave up a tie to a team that I shouldn't have, but he played me really well. And now I'm 7-4-1. I'm in second place, a win today, and I basically locked the bottom two teams in my division out of winning, or like overtaking me, which is huge. And then I'll have three games left. But what's interesting is early in the season, I had the same energy I had when I went 6-2. I was flying. I was all excited. And then I started to hit a lull, and I was like, oh, no, this, I've seen this before. But I literally, this is the dumbest thing that could ever work, but I literally had a theme song, which I took the War Ready for Pacific Rim 2. War Ready. So I would listen to that before the game and sort of Ray Lewis around the room, just sort of like puffing my chest out and dancing and like getting ready. And in it, Tupac Shakur says, get it on till I die, get it on till I die. And then this other line, which is just as great, y'all remember me, doesn't have any context for Madden. But I was like, fuck yeah, I'm about to play a team for the first time in three seasons. Y'all remember me? And I just was fired up about it. And so it's worked. It's kept me emotionally connected. I still had a lull after I beat probably the best team in the league. After blowing a game to the other best team in the league, I had a four-game stretch where I was just whatever. And then I got mauled 44-7 by a team. Didn't even care. Emotionally, I was like, no, whatever. We're taking this. We're putting it away. So I'm becoming what I'm saying is that I could go into pro athletics probably within one more. By the end of season four, pro athletics and I, emotionally, I can do it. But physically, lacking. So yeah, it's just really interesting to kind of discover that, to think about that, and think about how that's happened. That I've had these emotional dips, these peaks and valleys, this excitement. I mean, I beat one of the best. I should talk about this very briefly. I think I've talked about it, but maybe not. I was tied. A guy came back from 28-17. This is a guy who was 13-0 until a few minutes ago in our league. I had him down 28-17. He came back. With 7 seconds left in the game, I had the ball. It was going to overtime. I threw a stupid pass. He ran it back to the 20 and then kicked a field goal to beat me because I thought there were 3 seconds left in the game. Nope, there were 7. That was enough time to intercept it and run back and get in field goal position. And I looked up when there were, I think, 3 seconds left, and I was like, I can't believe I just lost the game. Couldn't even call field goal defense. I just walked around the room in disbelief at myself. So that game I was up for, then I beat the best team in the league. And I was just like, I was out of my mind with like focus. And it's really fun to have that focus. Can't get it every game. It's just like writing. It's like sitting down to write a book or write a script or almost anything in the world. Some days you just ain't got it. And you got to try to, y'all remember me your way into it. And it doesn't necessarily work. I got to tell you, if you can find a hype song in your life, and what I would recommend if you find a hype song, start looking forward for others. But we should all, this is really my love of the week. This, for you, you should love this for the week. We should all try to find hype songs quarterly or semi-annually, and just try to, you know, and then when we're going to work or whatever we're doing with our lives, we're about to watch a movie, we're like, no, I'm gonna fucking watch this movie. Y'all remember me. Get it on till I die. I don't know. I feel like hype songs should be a whole new genre, like in a real mental health sort of way. And as we come out of the pandemic, it doesn't seem like we're going to need them as much. Wrong. A hype song is great. I can't believe I'm on this podcast alone with this genius idea. I feel like I need to collect hype songs and You know what? I'm going to take a note to write a Medium article about hype songs, because this is just too good of an idea. Hold on. I'm literally never going to get around to doing this, but I'm going to have the note where I go, oh, yeah, that'd be fun if I find time. But I might have time in the next 2 weeks. All right. Here's what I hate this week. This is a real bummer for me. Last night, I'm watching Oral Roberts play Arkansas, and we're in bed because I might be in a crazy time zone. And my fiance turns, she's like, oh, no, check out. She was reading Twitter and trying to engage with the tournament because she picks every year and she tries to pick based on different things. It's like, oh, I like the mascot. I like this, whatever. You heard the last episode. She has her own ideology and it's fantastic. But she turns to me. She's like, oh, no, you can't use profanity on the campus. They basically denounce all LGBT people, LGBTQ people on the campus. Like, you can get kicked out for any gay activity. And then I was like, oh God, that's not great. Like, I don't want this team to win all of a sudden. Then I look, and the governor of Arkansas has basically said, if you're gay, you don't have to get health care. Like, doctors can refuse you help. Even in a life or death situation, they can just be like, eh. Great, fucking cool, Arkansas. Blow yourself up. So now I'm watching Oral Roberts, a 15 seed, which I was just like, oh, this is a great story and this is exciting. I think they're evangelical. That could be weird. I'm not going to pay too much attention. It's fun to root for lower seed teams. And then Arkansas, and I'm like, okay, fine, fuck it. You know, Arkansas, go beat them. And I find that there's shittiness on both sides. And then I'm like, damn it. Like, we've just... like, this is important, and it sucks because a lot of people are going to be like, we'll just take the politics out of sports. And then it's like, well, yeah, take the politics out of life. But you can't. And once you connect them, it's just such a bummer. So then who do I root for? I've got Gorgonzola going to the Final Four. I've got Baylor. I picked Baylor for a reason, because I remember not rooting for them years and years ago, because I think they're playing Yale or something. And then after, I think Yale won. I don't remember, but I was just like, why am I rooting for, like, the rich people? Why? I should be rooting for Baylor. I'm not going to make that mistake again. That's like, and I love Texas, as fucking stupid as Ted Cruz is. I think Texas is a fantastic place. I don't think they should secede. Don't think California should secede. Also, I think both of them should secede. And I don't think Texas would do as well in the long run. But, you know, hey. What am I talking about? Fuck knows. Now I've dropped several F-bombs, and that's not, it's like nothing to me. I'm just, I'm gonna click a button that says this one's got profanity, and you guys are gonna be like, my kid was in the car. This was, that was rough. That was rough. All right. Here's the deal. It's time for some breaking. Boop, doop, 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 boop, boop. Breaking news brought to you by Perfect Tommy, one of the legends that gives $25 to this podcast every month, even though I'm not even doing the episodes I should. Apologies to you, Perfect Tommy. Apologies to you, Fats Ducati. I got to do better. That's, you know, but again, emotional health and wanting to be like, I can't, I'm not doing so great. But I now, and then there's Jennings Gabriel, who's does the Netflix Minute and gives money. So, you know, these people putting their hard-earned cash into this situation, and I am just winging it. But I do see a much more promising future for the show, which we'll get to in like 2 months, and then it'll make even more sense. All right, breaking news. First off, Notre Dame is out of college football, EA's college football. They won't be in it, which that's kind of a bummer for people, right? I mean, Notre Dame is just such a huge aspect, and I just, more than anything, I just wanted to see them have their shiny helmets, like the super super shiny helmets. I would have liked to have seen them put those in the game and then find, like, I don't know, I just wanted to see them. So it's going to be really interesting, but I don't think they're going to be in it. They said they won't participate in the game until, I want to get this right, and I clicked on the wrong thing, and now I've screwed it all up. Notre Dame Athletics welcomes the return of this game. But they won't participate in the game until such time as rules have been finalized governing the participation of our student athletes. So basically, and that means there's no clear timeline. This has to do with it's just that the NCAA's chronic avoidance of defining the name slash image slash likeness, NIL, issue in college athletics has added layers of legalese and complications to a seismic shift in the amateur athletics model that was supposed to be implemented in time for the 21-22 school year. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. They don't have a firm timeline for release. And to me, part of it's like, man, that seems crazy that they wouldn't have Notre Dame. Like, if it's in the game, it doesn't have Notre Dame doesn't seem like quite the tagline. I think it's a pretty significant miss. So, yeah, hopefully they get that resolved for the Notre Dame heads out there. Moving on, next order of business, Tiger Woods signs on with PGA Tour 2K. Holy shit. This happened on March 16th. And 8 years away for EA, and now he's coming over. He ended his relationship with EA in 2013. Sorry, he's been away from video games for 8 years, and now this. So I gotta check dates on something, and then we can resume this podcast. It feels like I should pause, but I just want to see when the accident was. Like, I don't know if this happened before. I do also love that I don't know, because breaking news comes, you know, hot and fast on this podcast. And this was announced on the 16th of March. Okay, so his injury was the 6th of March, which was terrible. So, yeah, I mean, okay. That's not great for them, but gives him his rights and likeness. And if you care about that, then you should. I love golf games. I think it's exciting that golf games are being released. I think 2K is going to keep making a better and better golf game. Tiger Woods on it, that just makes people, first of all, what it's going to do is make people think they're about to buy an EA game, and then they're going to buy this game and not know the difference, and they're going to be happy. I think that's really the up and down of it. Last bit of breaking news. Out of the Park Baseball 22 is out. This should be a podcast about it, but I've got another thing I want to talk about, and I didn't want to wait because that's a year and a half old. So I'm going to do an episode next week about it. I'm going to be playing it this week. We'll see what I think. But honestly, I just love the series. We have Rich Grisham on, who is a great guest and a very smart dude. And I just love the series. It's fun. It's not expensive. You can get into it really easy and just, you know, play while you're doing other shit. Watch. Always Be My Maybe on Netflix while playing, and you can do both at a very high level, and that's what's exciting, I think. Also, don't do it while you're watching Last Chance U basketball, because that show is intense and you got to be on top of it. And I haven't seen all of it yet, so I'm not going to give it the full thumbs up. I'm a huge Last Chance U fan, and I think everything they do is fucking just beautiful and brilliant. And the last one of the football, I just thought was unbelievably exceptional and hit on some of the greatest, just like how heartbreaking and devastating it is. Just that whole deal. Anyway, play the game. That way you'll know what I'm talking about when we play it next week. All right, that's it. That's enough of that. It is now time. That's right. For me to talk about the feature section, which is a game I've been playing relentlessly called Retro Bowl. Now, if you don't know what Retro Bowl is, it's basically Tecmo Bowl for your iPad, and it's very, very simple, and it's very, very cool. And this is a feature, and it's like almost so simple, I'm not sure exactly how to talk about it. So I'm just gonna do what I'm doing now, which is ramble. But basically, you get a team. You get a bad team. You play one game with that bad team just to, you know, in that season. And then other teams try to hire you, I believe. Or you get another shot with that team. Doesn't really matter. You should definitely play this. It's free also. And really, if you only spend 99 cents, that's like the sweet spot. You can spend more money and unlock more stuff, but really you only have to spend a dollar. You don't even have to spend a dollar, but I finally spent a dollar because I loved it so much. I was like, oh, I want to give these guys a buck. And if it would have been $3.99 for that same thing, I would have done it. But you basically, it seems at first, because when I first opened it up. And again, this, I think, released a year and a half ago. And if you love college football, you can rework the whole game and just make it into a college football game. But you take a team and you actually play. I thought it would just be behind the scenes stuff, but you swipe up on the screen to make the guy juke up. You swipe down to make him juke down. You push, I'm always playing right to left. When I push left, the guy dives. If I push right, the guy pauses. And for passing, it's so intuitive and so cool. And you just, when you snap the ball, you pull back and you can then like scroll up and down. This, it's weird what I'm saying, but it creates an arc, a little dot, dot, dot arc. And you can make it go deeper or shorter, by going left and right. And when you let go, he passes the ball. So it's just really intuitive, really simple, but the team building aspect is fascinating. So you sign free agents and they're all stars between half star and five stars. And you have a salary cap and you try to get the guys you want. Simultaneously, like, you don't play defense at all. But if you don't sign defensive players, which I didn't for like the first four or five seasons, I think I'm on season nine right now. The first four or five seasons, I never signed defense. And my defense was always like 1.5 stars or half a star. And I didn't figure out that it meant I basically had to score every time. But the 2-minute quarters, the games take about 5 or 6 minutes each. I think I won the Super Bowl on the second, or the Retro Bowl on the second season I played. And I was also like, oh man, this is kind of easy. Like, I need to change the difficulty to hard. And then it was kind of not fun hard. And then I was like, oh, I'm just going to go back to dynamic difficulty. And I legit did not win the Super Bowl between seasons two and seasons nine. And I wanted to, like, season three, I was just sort of milling about, like, oh, this is kind of boring. I'll probably win the, and I didn't. And then I was like, okay, this next season I will. Got bounced in the playoffs. Next season, oh, I'll get it. I missed the playoffs. I was like, wait, what? Hold on. I really want to win this. So then on season six, I was like, I really want to win the Super Bowl. Let me go in there, the Retro Bowl. And I just wasn't winning. And I had to sign dudes and I was losing guys. And you do a draft. It's very simple. There's 3 rounds of the draft. You get 1 pick in each round. If you trade players, you can trade for draft picks. Very simple. Like, if you trade an average player, you'll get a third round pick. If you trade a pretty good player, you get a second round pick. If you trade a great player, and you can do this for cap reasons, you get a first round pick. A lot of times when you're drafting those guys, you can't even afford them. So you got to keep that in mind. It's just overall, it's so simple, but like after 3 or 4 seasons, you're like, oh, I get what's going on. I mean, you've got a front office, you got to deal with your stadium, and you the whole system is basically you get coins. So like right now, my stadium, it cost me 4 coins to upgrade. My training facilities will cost 8 to upgrade because I have them pretty far along. Rehab facilities, 6 coins. You also have coordinators. You got an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. And if, like, my offensive coordinator is a 2, that means 2 stars out of 5. That means every player that's not a star player, and you can only sign 10 people. I don't even think I'm explaining this well. I probably should talk about it in some other context. I just, you know what? Let me back up. I used to play Tecmo Bowl in a league with, I think I live with 2 guys. Yeah, I live with 2 guys. One of them, Mike Young, of Madden creative team fame. And this other guy, Mike. And we also would get local people to come around and play. We lived in Chicago on Dakin Avenue, pretty close to Wrigley Field. And we got people to play Tecmo Bowl in our Tecmo Bowl league, Tecmo Super Bowl, that didn't care about sports at all, but they just loved how great it was to play this dumb game all together. And we got just like, I think it was like 8 people were in the league finally. And it was just dramatic and fun. They didn't give a shit. And I ended up caring more than everybody else. And then the league sort of folded. But it was just great. So I'm a huge Tecmo Bowl fan. And I just think it's just such a great thing to go back to a game that's that simple, but also has enough complexity to keep you coming back. And when you're signing free agents, you know, and it, like, the number one free agent Right now at the end of my season, actually, this is a bad example because I should continue on. I won the Super Bowl. It says, your wealth of experience and knowledge of the game make you the most highly sought after coach in the league. Teams are queuing up to take you on as head coach. So I can go to another team now. I have a 4.5 defense and a 5 offense. I finally built it up. Baltimore wants to hire me. They're a 5-5. I'm rejecting them all. I want to win it again in Buffalo. And my defensive coordinator's contract has expired. They left the organization. That sucks. He was a 4-star guy, and I really could have used him. My offensive coordinator has also left because I didn't think to sign them again. That's not great. My fans' faith in me has dropped a bit this season, so that's something I got to deal with. You deal with the fans caring about your team. Team morale has declined a little during the offseason. That's fine. So I opened the season. Holy shit, I didn't know this was going to happen. It must be a bloodbath of my free agency. But now I have a 2 offense and a 1 defense, no offensive coordinator, no defensive coordinator. I got 42 coins, which is great, but I need to go to the front office. I've got a dude named B who's 0.5-star for my offensive coordinator. I got to do something about that. I'm going to go to free agents. And so here's an example. I have 42 coins, and I think you get 50 coins if you pay the buck. I've also been accruing them. How it works is sometimes I don't think this is interesting. I'm realizing me explaining this is not interesting enough. So I'm going to probably stop explaining it and tell you my emotional journey. Here's what I did. I ended up, signing a running back who was basically like, I guess, LaDainian Tomlinson. Like he would like, I get, no, actually Travis Henry is the perfect example. He would truck dudes over. He was fast. He was agile. Agility isn't a thing, by the way, but I could bounce him around with jukes. And I would basically just hand the ball to him and try to win enough games, get enough coins, and then I would try to get a better quarterback. I ended up, I think, drafting a quarterback who was pretty good, trading him, then signing a dude who was very expensive, who could throw the ball super deep. One thing about the game is you have stamina. So like a guy slows down as the game goes, literally his running speed. You could break an 80-yard touchdown run, but around like the 30-yard line, your guy starts slowing down and the defense, every once in a while you see a guy like come out of nowhere and tackle you. So I ended up just relying on the run game and then finally got the wide receiver I needed who had the blazing speed that I could just launch it up and then he could run under it. And winning the Super Bowl for the second time, I felt pretty freaking awesome. And again, it only cost me $1 and so much more time than I would have expected to put in. But if you're committed, if you're just like, you know what, I'm doing this tonight, you could probably play a full season in 2 hours, maybe even less. It's pretty exhausting, but it's a nice, I don't want to say it's a great game to poop to, but I got to tell you, you go in there, you play a game or two. You didn't need to be in there that long. Maybe you're going to play a third game. I doubt it. You shouldn't. Get out of there. Honestly, sitting for that long is going to, it's just not great for the anus. But overall, it's pretty fantastic. The game, not the, but yeah. So that's my pitch. I wish they were giving me money to tell you this, but they don't need to. They've done just fine on their own. Maybe. I don't know. I've never Googled it. I don't know anything about this game except my experiences. This guy who writes about politics, who I really love, and he tracks a lot of things that are really interesting, he just recommended it. He was like, I love it. And then I downloaded it and felt like I just found this brand new thing. And then I told somebody else in my league, I was like, hey, has anybody played this? And people were like, yeah, I downloaded it like 1.5 years ago. I was like, that's perfect for Sports Anomaly. I'm right on top of it. Fantastic. Okay, I think we've covered quite a bit, and the worst of it, which has really undermined this podcast after all, is me talking about Retro Bowl in a totally dumb way. Self-aware dumb, but that doesn't help. It doesn't help, I don't think. It's just kind of dumb. But what I love about it, like my contracts are expired. I've got a MVP quarterback who now wants $30 million, and I've got my... my running back's still on the team, I guess. So I've got one guy. But it's fascinating. If your running back gets hurt and you have a superstar running back and then they put in the replacement guy and you only have like a 1.5-star offensive coordinator, that player is a 1.5-star player, and then he's like slugging towards the line of scrimmage and you're just like, what? Okay, this isn't great. And also, when you win the Super Bowl, they put little rings by the players. So I just love that. I don't know. It's just a fantastic game. And you realize you have to let players go so that you have to, so you can, like my $30 million quarterback, for example, I want to re-sign him, but he's only 3 stars. So, oh no, now it's screwing me up and I'm all messed up. Let's see if I can figure this out. I have gone to the thing and now they won't let me do it without making a decision. Okay, I have to make a decision on these guys so I can't back up. But I think there's a quarterback that's 4.5 stars, but I think he's $42 million, which is totally insane. That's a third of my cap. But, you know, I'm looking at I got a lot of cap right now. $65 million out of 150. You know, it's fun. So definitely download it. Check it out. I think you'll dig it. Also, I picked Baylor to beat Gonzaga in the finals. My fiance picked Loyola Chicago to go to the finals, which obviously totally insane. But I just saw that if Michigan loses, Oregon and Gonzaga win, and then Gonzaga wins the whole thing, I think she can win the whole thing, which is not unlikely. I mean, Oregon as a 7 seed beating a 6 seed, reasonable. Then they'd play Gonzaga, which is a 1-7 if Gonzaga can take down who they play tonight. I believe Florida State. I don't know. It feels wild because if she doesn't finish last, she will never shut up about it. But if she were to finish second, I mean, I want her to finish ahead of me. I think it would be fantastic. And if Baylor plays Gonzaga in the finals, like, she will never watch the game and barely care. But if she wins, I'll never hear the end of it. And it's fantastic. All right, moving on to the Netflix Minute brought to you by Jennings Gabriel. Let me do a quick search on this, but I've got way more to say here than I thought I would. But the first thing I want to recommend is actually not a movie. It's a book, and it's called Power Moves. And I think I might have mentioned it on here before. Maybe not. But it's a, quote, deluxe coffee table book, end quote, from Hamish and Andy. Now, these are two hilarious dudes who, if you listen to the podcast, should be like, I don't need Sports Anomaly. But they're the kind of guys that, if I moved to Melbourne, I would love to write for their show, because the lunacy and idiocy of what they do and like the loving goofiness of it, they're fantastic. But they talk about power moves, and on the podcast, they'll have people on and they'll tell them their power moves. So my fiance got me this book for Christmas and I just randomly opened it up. It's the coffee table book. I randomly opened it up and this is what I turned to. Power move number 23, the blackout. When leaving a room after a conversation with someone, turn the lights off behind you and keep walking, leaving them in the dark room by themselves. A great power move. Here's another one. If you're getting to know someone and they say they play the same musical instrument as you, i.e. the guitar or the piano, immediately offer them a lesson. This indicates that despite having no evidence, you are confident you are a superior player of that instrument. It's a ridiculous book and it's just so funny, and the idea that you would do any of these things is even better. But imagine just turning the light out. It's such a power move. That's number one. Secondly, I just watched, after Christmas, I guess 2 years ago now, I saw Rise of Skywalker. Saw it in Australia. I was bummed that I didn't get to see it on opening day. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And man, I was like, my fiance hadn't seen it. I was like, let's just watch it. You know, I asked her to watch it every day, not every day, but like once every 3 days, like over the last 2 months. Cause I'm just like, you know what? I just kind of want to know. It can't be that bad. It couldn't have been that bad. It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And of course that's an equation. Like there's a calculation of you actually care to see it, or you're excited about it and it's that bad, or it has a legacy. I mean, I'm actually torn on what's worse, if the last season of Game of Thrones was worse than Rise of Skywalker. And I think Rise of Skywalker is significantly worse. It is, it's a trash movie. It's fascinating how bad it is. And Here's why it's terrible, if you ask me, a writer. There's this moment where Chewie gets kidnapped or taken by the stormtroopers. First of all, that happens totally out of the blue. It doesn't look like anything like that's going on. All of a sudden, they turn and he's getting kidnapped. And then they cut to a little bit later. Rey's trying to force push this ship from getting away so she can keep Chewie around. Kylo Ren does it too, but then Rey electrocutes it because she's a Palpatine. What a fucking twist that is. And it blows up, and then she thinks she's killed Chewie. And I remember being in the theater, not caring about this movie up until that, which is like the maybe the 30-minute mark, 35-minute mark. I don't know what the first act break was. But I was like, oh, shit, this is real. This is like a real thing. Like, whatever is happening in this movie, it's really happening. And now the stakes are real, and I care. And within 10 minutes, Chewie was just there, and they blew up another ship, and whoever died on that, who gives a fuck about those people, whatever. But Chewie was alive, so I was like, that's dumb as hell. I don't care about this movie. They just ruined the movie for me. Nothing they do matters. And watching it again later, C-3PO, they have to wipe his memory to get this information because he can't do this thing, blah, blah, blah. They wipe his memory, and right before they do, another great emotional moment, he's looking at them and they're like, what's going on? He's like, I'm just looking at my friends one last time. Something like that. It's in the trailer. And it was like, wow, that's a really beautiful, profound moment. Like, you're effectively sacrificing yourself, and this is it. Like, you love these people. They love you. They wipe his memory. He comes back as a dude who knows nothing, but he's still there, which I think was a negative. Then later, R2-D2 just has his memory and then re-uploads it. Now, why this is even worse is that it didn't matter. It never came up again. So they didn't need to do it. It was so dumb. And for the second time, I got my dick kicked in 1,000 directions by this bad movie. Just basically seeing like nothing matters. It's all fun. Why are we having, just root for Oral Roberts, root for Arkansas. It doesn't matter. Nothing. Everybody's going to be dancing in the streets later. It was terrible. So terrible. And that brings me to the final thing I'll say. I rewatched Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. What a difference Division makes, because those movies, you might not care about them. They're exceptional. Like, they're emotional and they're rational, and they have a billion different characters who all act like themselves, like they're acting in accordance with their ideas and their wants and desires. The Rise of Skywalker, it makes you realize, like, oh, I don't know anything about Rey. At the end of Rise of Skywalker, Palpatine's like, strike me down and then you will be all the Sith. And she's like, no. And he's like, you're so angry. You're angry. Strike me down. Oh, look at how angry you are. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know who else didn't? Us, the audience. She was never angry. She was just like, she was nothing. It actually exposed that character was vapid and we never got any emotional footing for her. And then Kylo Ren shows back up and he's like, oh shit, you're a dyad. I changed my whole evil plan. I'm just going to suck your lives out of you. All established again in the third act of a 9-movie arc. What a horrible bunch of crap. Anyway, that's the podcast. Enjoy your week. I'm out of here. See you next time.